Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, July 21st. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis is searching for the next leader of its airport, with Rhonda Hamnabrighi retiring in the coming weeks. She says for her replacement, knowing how to run an airport will be less important than honing their skills on the ground.
Whoever comes in, a key piece will first be connecting themselves to the region.
The outgoing director talks about what's next for Lambert St. Louis International, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Zoning rules for St. Louis data centers will take a little longer still after aldermen added three amendments to those rules at a board meeting yesterday. The zoning rules include where data centers can be built in the city, plus energy regulation and noise production guidelines. The new amendments allow some developments to delay meeting certain renewable energy goals and allow data centers to take up more ground space in downtown buildings and allow the developments on some medical campuses. Ward 9 Alderman Michael Browning was one of the three board members who voted against each amendment.
I think it's a shame that we continue to water down this bill. And I wish we worked just as hard to remove barriers to building housing and building other things in our city.
Second Ward Alderman Tom Oldenburg says the amendment he proposed related to renewable energy requirement waivers was a compromise requested by the business community and supported by Mayor Kara Spencer and Aldermanic President Megan Green. The bill will need to go back to the Planning Commission before aldermen can vote on it again. Parents at St. Louis Public Schools are circulating a petition to demand more clarity around the district's plans to close schools. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports the pushback comes ahead of the district's third community meeting this week.
The parent-led petition demands the district provide more information around why certain schools have been proposed for closure. SLPS has proposed consolidating up to a third of its schools in response to unsustainable operational costs. Teresa Danley is a parent and co-author of the petition.
I think that we're going to get to the beginning of the school year and people at these 20 to 22 schools are going to find out, you know, that someone has made the decision to close their school and they'll be shocked because they didn't know about the process.
The SLPS school board president said in a statement that no plan has been finalized and that families are welcome to voice their concerns at the district's upcoming public meeting on Wednesday. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Department of Health has identified 10 positive cases of cyclospora infection among residents and is investigating five more. That's as the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services has confirmed 216 cases of the illness overall in the state as of yesterday afternoon. The number of people sickened in Missouri is far below that in other states, but St. Louis Health Commissioner Victoria Ann Worry says people should still take precautions.
Make sure you wash your produce that you buy straight from the grocery store. If you're buying prepackaged produce like lettuce in a bag, even though it says pre-washed, we are encouraging residents to rewash the lettuce.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says there is overwhelming evidence that shredded lettuce from the produce supplier Taylor Farms, locations in central Mexico, is the source of the contamination. At least 20 people were treated for heat-related illnesses waiting for the Big Boy train to roll through the city of Pacific yesterday. Big Boy 4014 is the world's largest operating steam locomotive. The Merrimack Ambulance District says the event caused more heat-related illnesses than what local medical and emergency personnel could handle. Nine other EMS and fire agencies came to help the district respond to what it called a mass casualty event. Three people were transported to local hospitals. The rest were treated on site. The Merrimack Ambulance District encourages people attending outdoor events to stay hydrated, take breaks in the shade or in air conditioning, and wear light clothing. It's also important to recognize the signs of heat-related illness. That includes dizziness, weakness, nausea, headache, confusion, or loss of consciousness. we've been telling you more about the issues and candidates on the ballots in this year's August primary. Here's a little bit more of that coverage this morning. First, the second in command at the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department is in the running to be the next county executive there. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum has more on how Tim Whitney is making the case to voters of the fast-growing county.
Whitney serves as undersheriff, which means he is chief financial officer for the Sheriff's Department. He says he'll try to improve transportation infrastructure to maximize job growth in parts of the county. He also says that companies proposing data centers need to be more transparent with the public and be willing to listen to people who would be affected by the structures.
No one has ever said, my local government told me way too much. I just didn't want to spend my time in it. What people will say is, they didn't tell me enough. I didn't know soon enough. I didn't feel like I was part of the process. We have to start there.
Whitney is running against Festus businessman John Stockton in the August 4th primary. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
One of the two Democrats seeking his party's nomination for St. Louis County Assessor says his varied professional background makes him the most qualified person for the job. STLPR's Rachel Lippman has more from Tommy Pearson's appearance on Politically Speaking.
The assessor sets property values in the county, which are a big factor in the amount of property tax an owner has to pay. Pearson says the county has to rely on models to determine the value of most properties because there are so many parcels. He says his work in statistics means he actually understands those models. But he says his time as a state legislator will help him navigate county government.
And to be able to ensure that the voice of the assessor and the voice of the taxpayer through the assessor's office is one that is heard.
The winner of the Democratic primary will face Republican and Green Party candidates in November. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can hear more of those conversations on the Politically Speaking podcast at stlpr.org or wherever you get podcasts like this one. And Missouri residents can vote in person in that August 4th primary starting today. The state allows anyone registered to vote in Missouri to cast their ballot up to 2 weeks before the election. Unlike with an absentee ballot, voters don't have to provide an excuse for why they can't get to the polls on election day. Voters do have to bring a photo ID. Residents in the state's first congressional district will choose their party's picks for U.S. representatives, and residents in St. Louis and St. Charles counties will also vote for county executive. There's also 5 constitutional amendments on the ballot. To learn more about what else is going to be up for a vote, go to stlpr.org/August primary. The Center for Animal Rescue and Enrichment secured another year of funding from St. Louis this month. But as STLPR's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the shelter says the contract extension is not enough to support its day-to-day operations.
CARE STL has run the city's animal shelter since 2019 and is required by the city to take all animals brought in by animal control. But CARE STL's community outreach director, Elisa Bauer, says the money the shelter is getting from the city is not nearly enough.
Sometimes we're very over capacity, and so that's even more money. It's tough when you are trying to help so many animals and you just don't have the appropriate funding to do that.
Bauer says the money provided by the contract is only enough for workers' salaries, and that fundraisers and donors cover most other costs. Bauer said the total contract provides about $1 million. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
Rhonda Hamnabrigi will soon depart Lambert St. Louis International Airport for the last time as its director. She's retiring after 16 years at the helm. In some of her final days on the job, I visited her at her office to discuss her career and what's next for Lambert. She also reflected in this conversation on the push to explore privatizing the airport, and it's an effort Hamnabrigi now says was not a good thing for the airport's workers.
Being a community that was going to go out and kind of do this first, there was just a lot of skepticism about, is it the right thing and will it work? And if it doesn't, where does that leave us? From the morale at the airport, it was just hard, right? People were working really hard to try to bring the airport back to be a pride again in the region. And it was hard to watch some of the criticism. It was hard to watch some of the things that were being said and done. So ultimately, I think at the end of the day, we were happy to see it go to the side.
Was a silver lining of the maybe dark cloud of that conversation and that exploration that the airport was kind of recentered in the public consciousness as an asset?
I think so. I think so. It gave everybody more momentum to say, okay, we all want our airport, right? We all want it to be the best that it can be. We want it to be better. So let's pull together. It certainly brought, I think, the opportunity for us at the airport and my role as the director working with the business community to say, I need you. We need you, right? Our airport needs you. You need our airport. So let's work together. We did an economic impact study in 2013, and we were $3.2 billion economic impact to the state. We did a new one 2 years ago in partnership with Greater St. Louis Inc. We are now a $6.5 billion. We've doubled our economic impact in a decade.
The mayor's office recently announced the official search for your successor. What will their biggest challenge be? And what do you think they need to know about the job in the region?
Yeah, I think if the person comes from outside the St. Louis area, I think the biggest challenge is getting acclimated to people here, right? I think we are a region that we want to know the people. We want to know, especially in a position like this, who is the person running the airport? What's their background? Are they going to talk to us? Are they going to come out? So I think whoever comes in, a key piece will first be connecting themselves to the region, mm-hmm. making sure that they are out and we are introducing them to the various organizations. This operational team here is so strong. They know how to run the airport. They can do that.
Did wanting St. Louis to be the type of place that would be good for your grandkids to grow up impact the way you did things in this role?
Mm. Yes, and all my grandkids are here, and I'm very grateful for that. St. Louis has meant so much. We've been so blessed here. And I want our kids to have that same feeling. I want the kids to grow up in a region that's got a lot to offer, yet it's not so big that you lose yourself, right? You feel, we say this all the time, we're a big, small town. We have a vast array of things to do and look and feel and see and touch and all of that. But we still, it's very easy here to know people. It's very easy, I think, to get connected. It's very easy to take your kids to a park or to do a ball game or to do something else, whatever you want to do. And so for me, I think being here and making sure that the region continues to thrive is something that I'll never give up working on.
Rhonda Hamnabrighi, you are retiring as the leader of Lambert St. Louis International Airport on August 15th. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You can hear more of our conversation today on St. Louis on the Air. Thanks to my editor on this piece, Sarah Fentum. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.